Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Our text this morning are verses 6 to 9, but we're going to read from verse 1 to 9 to give ourselves a little bit of context and remember what Paul has been saying to the churches in Galatia. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you this morning as we study this portion of your holy and living word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this word at this particular time in our church. We know that you are sovereign over all things, even the texts that we study and read together as a body. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will do. We don't pray, Lord. We're confident that the Holy Spirit will do in our hearts and minds what only he can do using this, his word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 3, 1 to 9, if you can, would you stand in honor of God's word? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Beginning with verse 6 is the part of the passage that I'm going to unpack this morning by God's grace. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is God's word. You may be seated and let's pray again. Precious Heavenly Father, your word has been read. Your Spirit is at work already in our hearts and minds. Lord, give me understanding, give me clarity of mind, give me courage, give me compassion. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and may we not be guilty of being hearers only, but help us, dear Lord, by your Spirit to be doers of your word. This we pray in Christ's name, amen. Like I said, verses 6 to 9 are the passages that we're going to unpack. But Paul has, throughout his entire letter, condemned and combated a damnable heresy that had come to the region after he left. And had been brought by a small group of men, most likely from Jerusalem, who had bewitched the believers, bewitched the churches into believing a lie. They were called, or we call him, I don't think you can ever find the term Judaizers in the New Testament, but that is the term that these men have been called, Judaizers. They are trying to make Christians Jews first. And as their founding pastor, Paul, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ, He is genuinely concerned that this false gospel that is based on human works is troubling the flock that he established. So he sits down and he pens this letter. He reminds them of his life battle for the integrity and the sake of the gospel. I'm not going to rehearse everything we've said in the first couple chapters, but you can listen to them. They're all online. Most recently, in verses 1 to 5, he asked them a series of rhetorical questions about their own personal experience with the gospel. He had shared with them his experience in chapters 1 and 2. Now he asked them questions about their experience. Was your experience based on faith, or was it based upon works? When you were justified, when you were made right with God, when you received the Holy Spirit of God, is it because you obeyed some Mosaic law, or was it because of the Spirit of God and your faith in Jesus Christ? The Judaizers were saying it's faith plus something, faith plus circumcision, faith plus food diets, faith plus the Sabbath, faith plus ceremonial law. But Paul has said already in Galatians 2:16 to Peter, who had denied the gospel, not so much with his words, but with his actions, this is what Paul had said. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus. In order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because, once again, by works of the law, no one will be justified. In the section that we're unpacking today, Paul continues that argument, that justification, being made right with God, is by faith alone in Christ. Faith plus nothing. Notice how he connects what he's about to say with what he has just said. He uses a couple of connecting words. Just as. He's going to make the point that just as faith, hearing, believing, was the instrument that God used to make you right with him, so too was Abraham made right with God. Abraham, your father, was made right with God, was counted as righteous, was justified by believing. Point being made by Paul is that faith has always, ever since the beginning, been God's only mean for justification. It has never been works. And that is our first point in our outline. Faith alone is the means for justification. Contrary to the message of the Judaizers, who were saying faith plus works. A little bit about the Judaizers. We don't know for sure, but probably they used scripture also, Old Testament scripture, to justify their false doctrine that they were teaching the churches in Galatia. Perhaps one of those passages was Genesis 17. And I'd like you to go there right now. Genesis 17. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring. God is speaking to Abraham. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, or any foreigner who is not your offspring, Both he who was born in your house and he who was bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who was not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. These men from Jerusalem were teaching that in order to be truly saved, to be accepted by God, you needed to become a Jew. That was circumcision, was the sign of the covenant for the Jewish people throughout all generations. Luke, as he relates what happened in Acts 15, says this: these men had come down from Jerusalem, from Judea, and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. They were teaching that it is just as important to become a Jew as it is to have faith in Christ Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, when he writes his little letter, he seems to be saying the same thing as the Judaizers were saying to the Galatians. He's not. And we have talked about this before, but one day, when we get done with Galatians and when we go to the Old Testament again, we're going to come back to James and we're going to see how faith and works are both important. Faith is what God does. Work is what people see. Let me read to you what James says. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See that? You believe that God is one, you did well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Oh, you foolish person. Do you want to be shown that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. What's going on here? What's James doing? Is he undermining Paul? He's not. And your homework this afternoon or this week is to go home, study these two passages side by side, and come to the answer that I'm telling you already. How is James not contradicting faith plus nothing equals justification? Well, back to our text. What Paul is saying is that faith has always been the means by which God makes an individual right with him, justification. Now, the Judaizers, if they were using a biblical text, we said, were using probably Genesis 17. But Paul takes them back even further than Genesis 17. He takes them back to Genesis 15, which not only comes before 17, but chronologically it comes before 17 as well. 15 years before chapter 15 and 17. 17 coming after 15. Let me read to you from verses 4 of Genesis 15. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, Abraham. This man shall not be your heir. Abraham had suggested another heir because he wasn't having a son. Your very own son will be your heir. God brought Abraham outside and said, look toward the heavens and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. Not only is Abraham's faith the means for him to be declared righteous before God, but that statement appears 15 years before the command for Abraham to circumcise. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And he was 84 when God made him the promise and asked him to go out and look up the stars. Look at one specific argument among many in the chapter that Paul makes in Romans chapter 4. And one day, I promise, we'll get through the book of Romans as well. Romans chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised? Or are also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteous. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. So Paul makes the argument that Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. So therefore, the works of the law was not the means by which Abraham was counted righteous. That's our second point. Justification, being made right with God, was not something that God reserved only for those who were in the flesh, sons of Abraham, and who, by extension, kept the works of the law. That's what the Judaizers were saying. You can't really be justified unless you first become a Jew and keep the Jewish law, particularly circumcision. Being a Jew was a great source of pride to them. We are Abraham's children. We can trace our bloodline all the way back to Abraham in the very beginning. Recently, my son did a genetic test. Was it 23andMe? Are you familiar with it? Proved he was 99.9% European. And all kinds of other weird things as well. But look what John the Baptist says to these Jews, arrogant in their own Jewishness, that they were children of Abraham. Therefore, God accepted them. Matthew chapter 3. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Paul knew that God was always after the heart of faith, not some genetic disposition, not some cutting off of the foreskin. Those would never justify you before God, only faith. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? What? Circumcision? Keeping the Sabbath? No. Fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love him, and serve the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. God was looking for hearts of faith. In the context of that chapter and verse, Deuteronomy 10:12, he says just a little bit later, this is the circumcision that God is looking for. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. That's the circumcision that God was really interested in. a heart of faith, one who believed God and his promises. God had always planned that his people would be people of faith, both Jew and Gentiles, like those in the region of Galatia. All the world, Jew and Gentile, would be blessed because of the faith of Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will dishonor you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families, Jew and Gentile. Genesis 18, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham surely became a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Not because Abraham was a Jew, but because Abraham displayed the faith that pleases God. Genesis 22, 18. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham trusted God. Even when he had no children. Genesis 26, verse 4. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven. I will give your offspring to all the lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. All the nations, Jew and Gentile. Genesis 28, verse 14. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Blessing through Abram is not because of your genes, your DNA. It's not because you're Jewish like Abraham. It's because you have his faith, you believe, you trust, and therefore God justifies you. Paul says in verse 7 of Galatians that Abraham's sons are those of faith, regardless of their genes. All nations and all families of the earth will be blessed. That brings us to our third point. God's promise to Abraham was, in its embryonic form, the gospel. It wasn't full grown, just like my son and my daughter and my son's wife and my daughter's husband are expecting, and they have a little embryo. One of them has two. The gospel was preached in embryonic form to Abraham. That's what the text says. In Genesis 15, God made a covenant with Abraham. Remember, Abraham was instructed to cut some carcasses in half, and God was to pass through the carcasses with a fire. And that's how old Eastern men and women sealed covenants. They were basically saying, I'm making a promise to you, with you. I'm going to pass through these carcasses, dead carcasses cut in half, and if I do not keep my word, may what happened to them happen to me as well. And usually both sides of the covenant would walk through it. But in Genesis chapter 15, we see that only one person walks through the carcasses because the other one is sleeping. And guess which one is sleeping? Is it Abraham or God? You know, it's Abraham. Let me read. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say and to his offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. It's Galatians 3:16. So God, when he was making that promise to Abraham in Genesis 15, and he walked through the carcasses alone, he says, Abraham, this is my promise to your seed, which is Christ. I promise to bless the entire world through Christ Jesus. Up to this point in Galatians, Paul has been using the term offspring in a plural sense, stars of the heavens, sands of the sea. But in verse 14, a text that we will study next week, the offspring is used in the singular, referring to Jesus. All nations will be blessed because they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Abraham's offspring. Men and women of all ages, of all nationalities, are made right with God because they believe in God's promises to his deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Old Testament looked forward to their Messiah, and we look backwards. Last point. Who is blessed with salvation? All those who are like Abraham, believed God and believed in God's provision of a Savior who alone was capable of seeing their faith. Have you trusted in Christ Jesus this morning for your salvation? Are you trusting in something other than Christ? There are churches who teach that. They are trusting in other things, baptism, keeping the Sabbath, rites and rituals, sacraments. Those are false religions. They are saying Jesus Christ, but they are saying Jesus Christ alone is not enough. And Paul is telling us, and I'm affirming it to you as your pastor, that Jesus Christ is enough to justify you, to make you right before God. Will you trust him this morning? Will you bow your head with me in prayer? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. How clear Paul is that salvation is in Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone. Lord, if there are any here this morning who are trusting in anything else, convict them of their own self-sufficiency and pride, and may they turn their hearts and minds to Christ Jesus alone. This I pray.